From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Hundreds of thousands of Salvadorans are facing imminent deportation after Donald Trump's administration announced that it would end a temporary protected status for that community. Many among them have been in the United States for more than 10 years and have formed deep family and community ties. Nationals of El Salvador were the largest group that benefited from the TPS program and are the latest to face expulsion under Trump. The virulently anti-immigrant administration has already ended TPS for Haitians and Nicaraguans. Hondurans may be the next group to be ripped out of the nation. Meanwhile, registrants of the canceled program, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, are promising to hold legislators accountable for passing a so-called DREAM Act. DACA-minted youth, or DREAMers, have confronted members of both major parties to win protections for them and their families as part of a legislative negotiation over the spending bill in Congress. Also, on Tuesday, Trump appeared to support a path to citizenship for all undocumented immigrants during a televised meeting with Democrats. My guest is Christine Newman-Ortiz. She's the executive director of Voces de la Frontera. Welcome to the program, Christine.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So the last time we had you on was last February, when we were talking about the first raids and deportations that were happening under the new Trump administration. Here we are just under a year later, and so much has happened. Let's talk first about TPS and El Salvador before we get to the other issues. This is a group of people that has been in the country since, I believe, many of them since 2001. What would it mean? What does it mean for the Salvadoran community that's here under TPS that this program is now revoked? They have to leave?
Well, the protections would take only be in effect as of till September 2019. But in essence, it is very similar to what's happened to the to the DREAMers, in that their temporary protections from deportation, their ability to work legally, to be able to drive legally, all of that, is basically being removed. And in essence, they are now, will be a target for deportation. And this has been a steady rollout from the administration. So this is obviously unsettling, not just the people who hold TPS, who have deep roots in our community, but their whole family and the broader community. So this is something that definitely is rippling out. And we see this obviously as part of the systemic agenda of the Trump administration since they got into office, that they have been implementing a plan for mass deportation that is ushering in a period of rollback and civil rights protections around profiling. And they've been very systematic about the way they've been doing this, with the beginning of the repeal of the executive orders targeting making all 11 million undocumented a target for deportation, and then followed by the repeal of DACA protections, the earlier TPS protections, and this continued targeting of the refugee community.
Right. I mean, people who are here in this country under temporary protected status, we should make clear, are not really undocumented. They've actually been in the country under a specific program that has allowed them to legally remain here. And they don't live in suspended animation. Obviously, they form ties to the community. They marry people. They have children. They have jobs. They start companies. And suddenly, with a stroke of the pen, all of these lives, nearly 200,000 in the case of people from El Salvador, are in absolute limbo. It's, we just don't usually face the humanity of these decisions.
And I think the other thing that is important to bring about is that while these protections were brought about initially in 2001, they would, in essence, be trying to force people to go back to a situation where the country is still not in a condition, really, to where people are going to be safe returning. Right now, we are seeing, that the refugees have been leaving El Salvador because of the level of violence is so high. And so there's so to be able to say we're going to force people to go back to that, when you have people fleeing conditions of violence, is it just really shows the xenophobic and racist nature of this agenda, because it has nothing to do with the purpose of these kind of protections, which are to recognize refugees as a vulnerable population and our moral obligation to provide safety, especially for people who've been living here this long. Why are we contributing to this problem? So it's a very, it's really just in line with the kind of far-right agenda we've been seeing come from the administration, regardless of the human cost.
Now let's talk about what's happening with the negotiations over the Dreamers. And actually, let's even stop a minute and talk about what's happened to the young undocumented immigrants who, under the Obama administration, were eligible for deferred action for childhood arrivals, the DACA program, and then suddenly found their lives upended last year when Trump decided he would cancel it. How many people are seeing their DACA status expire every single day and realize they now are unable to renew that status unless Congress takes action?
Well, we know that there's 122 every day that are losing status. And obviously, since the program took effect, it meant that young people coming of age that would have qualified were immediately cut off, or people that didn't meet that arbitrary deadline. So it's something that for many that weren't part of the initial fight in 2012 to win this protection under the Obama administration, this is something that it has been an awakening in terms of people being learning that history and feeling the urgency to get involved, and obviously having people within their community, whether that's their employer, whether that's the church leader, their friend, their brother, their sister, their teacher, their counselor, step up and say, we're not going to allow this administration to tear apart our community, and that we're going to stand together for these young people that have handed over all of this information to the government and have really contributed so profoundly and so importantly to our community. And it really, again, just exposes the virulent racism and hatred against a group, because these are young people that have in good faith put forward all of this information and have been going to school, have been working, have families, have been helping their parents come out of poverty, have been pursuing their education. Many of them, because they're people who, young people who have struggled, are paying their own way, by the way, they're grateful. They're grateful for other people's, recognizing that it takes many people for people to move forward and progress and want to give back. So there is a lot of, as we know, tremendous support for the community. So what we've been seeing is, whether that's in district here, and for instance, in our case, that's in Speaker Ryan's district, where we've been organizing and particularly very strongly, but and with our
right,
entire
your organization
delegation.
Is based in Wisconsin, where of course Ryan's home district is.
And I mean, what you're seeing is that what's really shifting things, whether it's this fight or other fights, it really is the people. It really is the grassroots people. It's young people, many of them who haven't told their story publicly before,
right,
coming forward.
So you and I are speaking on Tuesday, right as a televised meeting between legislators and Donald Trump has been wrapping up. And we're seeing some stunning news coming out of that meeting, a New York Times headline saying, Trump appears to endorse path to citizenship for millions of immigrants. And of course, as we've sort of seen leaks suggest, and the new book Fire and Fury about the Trump administration suggest, Trump tends to sort of echo what the last person to influence him might be trying to push. So it's really hard to say what exactly Trump means when he makes statements, because he tends to contradict himself. But he has been saying now, apparently, that he might be willing to, quote, take the heat if legislators want to renew the DACA program through legislation. And we're even talking possibly comprehensive immigration reform. What do you make of all of this? I know we're just hearing about it.
I think that there is tremendous opportunity to secure passage of the DREAM Act, but the immigrant rights movement, the organizations as organized community through the various organizations have been very, very clear that negotiation is not going to come at the expense of hurting others, whether that's the elimination of the diversity program, which would disproportionately affect people from Africa, Latin America, Asia, or whether that's the repeal of the family-based immigration system, which in that discussion, he said, I'm willing to not make that part of the negotiation, but who knows, that's been on their agenda for a while, which basically means creating a new pool of people who would be targets for deportation, and of course, a stronger enforcement. So it won't come at we want it to be an affirmative policy because it has such broad support. And in that case, I think the strongest negotiation is going to come from everyday people standing up and putting pressure, and I would say both on Democrats and Republicans, to make sure that we drive this home.
So Trump said that he supports a two-phase approach that would first codify protections created under DACA. And I don't know what this means vis-a-vis demands for a, quote, clean Dream Act, and then address other undocumented immigrants, meaning, you know, the parents, family members, neighbors of DACA youth, as well as the rest of us. Explain what the demand for a clean Dream Act is, and are Democrats holding Republicans' feet to the fire and holding the spending bill hostage? Because on the vote for a spending bill, Republicans need Democratic senators' votes. So it's one of the few places where Democrats actually have leverage. So are Democrats making demands for a clean Dream Act part of their negotiation?
Absolutely. And that pressure on the leadership came from the community itself, from the immigrant rights movement itself. And the Clean Dream Act means that we don't want money towards any kind of wall that is simply a gross waste of money and a symbol to prejudice. There's net zero migration. Immigrants are a plus for our society. It's unpopular. So why cater to this?
Right, because Trump has been saying any kind of move on immigration that he makes, any concession he makes, would have to be on the condition of funding for this border wall that he made a priority during his campaign.
Exactly. The second piece around the Clean Dream Bill means that we're not willing to, in exchange for protections for Dreamers, exchange more enforcement, whether that's the 10,000 border agents he wants, the $33 billion towards more border enforcement, or expansion of more detention centers. These are for-profit corporations that are holding the majority of immigrants and who have a huge incentive to criminalize and detain more and more, you know, entire families, detention centers with entire families. So it's been to really hold the line and to put pressure on both. So the pressure right now, so I would say in this last round before the end of the year, the immigrant rights organizations did have to step up communications and put pressure to make sure that that this was a demand that was placed on Democrats. And that's why I would say that moving forward before this vote on the 19th, it is absolutely critical that both Democrats and Republicans hear from the people and that people participate in these kind of actions. People should participate in whatever way they want to feel most comfortable. But there's going to be activities going on in D.C. There's going to be activities in district. And these politicians need to know that there will be electoral consequences as well. In the case of Speaker Ryan, that pressure has been working. There's been just constant pressure on him and his district to stand up for Dreamers, and at least while he has verbalized it, you know, we need to see that in action. His last vote was obviously to move this continuing resolution bill. But that pressure, I mean, right now his office is like a fortress, whether that's in D.C. or in district, in his three district offices. And for me, that, it's unacceptable because he should be holding town halls and listening to his constituents, whether he agrees with their opinion or not. But it does show that, in a sense, that they're running from their own constituents, and they need to feel the heat even more. So they need to be held accountable.
Christine, the news reports from the negotiations with legislators on Trump is that Trump would be likely to support some sort of a Dream Act, except that it would have to come with the condition of a border wall. So we're talking about maybe the opposite of a clean Dream Act, a dirty Dream Act. but to even if Democrats were, if the only option the Democrats had was to either vote yes on a Dream Act that came with a border wall funding or vote no on a Dream Act that came with a border wall funding, what would you want the Democrats to do? Because if they did vote no, those DACA, those people with the DACA status that is expiring are not going to be able to renew it. So we're talking about something very, very real happening just in the next few months and weeks.
Over the many years, the border groups have had many concrete proposals around how border enforcement can be improved in a way that is not, that is addressing some of the serious concerns that have been raised by community organizations there and that work with the immigrant community. And so I think those are the kinds of things that need to be addressed as part of the negotiations. Obviously, there will be negotiations, but I think, we want, since it's such a broadly popular program, I wouldn't give up on the will of the people driving this agenda, because both Democrats and Republicans in key states, why are they supporting this and why are they pushing for this legislatively? Because it is such an important issue and it will be critical for them in upcoming elections. So I do believe that we shouldn't give up on the hope of a Clean Dream Act bill. It just means we have to step up. The change will not come from DC. It has to come from in district with common people stepping up.
Christine, give out a website for Voces de la Frontera.
It is vdlf.org or on Facebook as well.
We'll post links to that from our website later today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Christine Newman-Ortiz, Executive Director of Voces de la Frontera. We've been discussing the end of TPS for Salvadorans, as well as the spending bill fight over a Dream Act. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.